God to female images. Who then, when he talks about Abraham, also says, you know what, there was Sarah too. What's this guy got going for him that he keeps thinking of this woman stuff? I mean, that's part of the question, because in fact it does happen here, unlike any place else in Scripture. Then, since the lights are on, one more, while it lasts. 66, or not. What's the matter? You can see that fine, right? You all need glasses just like I do. Why doesn't this work? It worked yesterday. Oh, because I don't have my glasses on. Wow. Okay, here's what you learned at Holden Village. Don't focus with your glasses off. All right. I give up. Okay, listen, an uproar from the city. I just heard it. Or at least from the village. A voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord, dealing retribution to his enemies. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Who's she? We're going to see that this is Zion, Jerusalem here. Zion, Jerusalem is always feminine in Hebrew. Cities are feminine in Hebrew. It's a grammatical reality, but on the other hand, with the images of cities, it's more than a grammatical reality, because if you build a statue of Jerusalem, Mother Jerusalem, it would be a woman. So here's Jerusalem. She, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall a land be born in one day? That is, before there was ever labor, she gave birth. That would be nice. What do I know? As soon as Zion was in labor, she delivered her children. Shall I open the womb and not deliver? Says the Lord, shall I, the one who delivers, shut the womb? Rejoice with Jerusalem, be glad with her, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to skip down. 11, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. Okay, we're still talking about Jerusalem. What's the big deal? 13, for thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a woman, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing arm. You shall nurse and be carried on her arm, dandled on her knees. Okay, still Jerusalem. But as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. That is, all of a sudden, God takes all of that imagery and says, that's me. So once again, the birthing mother, the comforting mother, the feeding mother, the nourishing mother is the image that God takes for God's self. And there's more going on in this text that, you know, giving birth before there is labor. Where's that take you? Yeah, exactly. We're doing nothing less than overturning the troubles brought to the world by sin in Genesis 3. That all goes away now as God renews God's people in this text. Okay, so we have all of these texts in which God makes these comparisons. This prophet speaking for God makes these comparisons to female images, metaphors, persons in one way or another. What does this mean? Well, my Bible doesn't have any better footnotes than yours to say precisely what does this mean. It is, of course, speculative to talk about that. The first thing to observe is simply that it's there. And the fact that it is there invites us, of course, to employ such imagery in our own life of prayer and liturgy. And if people don't like it, say, you know what, the Bible did it, so there we are. But why would the Bible do it? One can think about that in this situation. Everything's broken. What are you going to do? How are you going to get their attention? Well, this is going to do it to get their attention. That's certainly one of the things that's going on here. It may also be a way to compete with, another way to compete with Babylon. Here comes, you know, Richard's grandkids coming home to the grandma and saying, hey, how come they got female gods and male gods and we don't? We only got male gods. Isn't their way better than ours? Come on. And grandma can say, well, you know what? Our God is like a mother too. That is, in competing with the fertility images of Babylon, fertility religions have to have male and female gods. It's really hard for fertility religions to work otherwise. I mean, they gotta come in mixed doubles. Israel's tradition has not done that, but what if you live in that culture? That may be another reason why we're going to emphasize the notion that our God is not only like a father, images which we have seen before, although, just to be clear, not nearly as many times as the tradition thinks is God directly compared to a father in the Old Testament. Should I say this? Tikva Frymer-Kensky, who is a Jewish feminist interpreter of scripture, has this wonderful line in her book on in the wake of the goddesses and the development of gender thought and God thought in the ancient world. Wonderful line in which she says, of course God in the Old Testament is all over the place compared to a male. You can't have had it otherwise in that world. Of course that's true. But never from the waist down. Her line. what she's saying is, unlike the fertility religions, in Israel, God is never the sexual principle, or the sexual principle is never God. Profound difference between. So we'll talk about God male, God female. We will not talk about deifying the sexual principle. That's fertility religion. Don't go there. Okay. God's creator, not the creation, the sexual act, even its wonderful sexual liveliness is not God. Where was I? We can speak too, says Grandma Israelite. We can speak, too, of God as mother, as father, as long as we recognize that, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and I am the Lord and there is no other. As long as we recognize, as long as we don't compromise the basic confession that God is one and there ain't nobody else, then, wow, I mean, all kinds of free things are free in order to with which to compare this God, and our prophet will use pretty much all of them in trying to do that, including now, surprisingly, all of these female images. Well, there may be other reasons as well. Those could be the biggest ones of why this shows up here. There's also the appeal to intimacy that I have been talking about before in this book. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. I'm going to come back to that notion tomorrow, which should have been today. So I won't develop that at length here. But if I'm going to do the appeal to intimacy thing, then it, certainly these mother, nursing mother images are going to work. And that may be another reason here. I'll talk a little bit more tomorrow about why the appeal to intimacy in this book. But it's certainly there. And the appeal to creation thought similarly. At any rate, here in our book, as a way to bowl you over and get your attention, you who thought God was done and we were done and everything was done and there is no tomorrow, as Von Rath said, you can't just repeat the tradition. The tradition's broken. You got to say something new. Not so new that it doesn't fit with the tradition, but new in a way that the people say, wow. Should I say this? I say to my students, a good sermon has to produce either a wow or bullshit. If it produces nothing, it was just repeating the tradition. It was not yet a sermon. Now, to be sure, people are at different places in hearing on different days, and so. But a good sermon, somebody, you got to either say yes or no way into a good sermon. How many people that in the prophet's audience said yes, and how many said, you can't do that? We've already seen them say that with regard to the Gentile Messiah. No doubt there are people out there saying, you can't do that. Guess what? The guys who said yes won. It's in the canon. It's in the Bible. It didn't get there overnight. It took some time. The people of God to sort this out and say, you know what? That was the word of the Lord. And here it is. And we pass it down for subsequent generations, including people sitting in a room in Holden Village with or without power, to consider surprising images of God and how we will think of these and use these in our own imagery, worship, prayer language to speak of God. Let us pray. Incomparable God, we confess with thanks that you are God and there is no other. We acknowledge with joy that no form or likeness can capture your image, yourself, neither male nor female. Yet we note with awe and wonder how you compare yourself with creatures great and small, that we may learn something of your character. You call yourself mother and father and shepherd and nurse and lion and lamb and eagle and bear and lover and friend. In all this you bend to us. You come to us in word and form and in humility, as you did and as you will, in your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Tomorrow we do today. Thank you.
I have a copy of that card.
Oh, yeah.